We're gonna take a side trip this morning.
So unusual.
Don't start, Jessica. And talk more about the abomination of desolation that we talked about last night. All right?
Good.
It's in three places in Daniel. So let's go Daniel 9. Gotta go to Daniel, don't I? Start in verse 24. Daniel 9:24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. So we've studied many times that is the finished work of Christ. And know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, and the street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. Now the wall was built, was finished, just a couple of years before Christ, but he confirmed the covenant during all that time. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and their end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. For the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now, that's the first time Daniel spoke of the abomination of desolation. Let's go to Daniel 11. And it's just one verse 31. An arm shall stand on this part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. Okay, one more, Daniel 12. Starting verse 5. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, where he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, or the wicked one shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked ones shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. But go thy way till the end, for thou shalt rest, till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Now the 1,290 days is approximately the 3.5 years. It's the mystical 3.5 years. But it's talked about in Ezra 9:3-4 too, but it's just sort of, it's not really understandable. Now Chrysostom, the early first century or second century Christian, said that this was the abomination of desolation was when the Romans destroyed the temple in AD 70. Rabbinic literature says that it was when the Antiochus Epiphanes put a pig on the offered pigs on the and a statue of Zeus in the holy place in BC 175. Most of the credible scholars say it was the siege of Jerusalem in 70 AD by Titus. Some say it refers to the crucifixion. And today the futurists or the rapturists say that it's coming, it's going to be, and it's the end time when the Antichrist shall set up his temple, I mean himself in the temple. Now, except for the last one, it could be all of them. But the real meaning from our standpoint and from our understanding is when you see the abomination of desolation. And that's what it says in Matthew 14. When you see it, then the word says stand, but it really means just set in place. Don't be moved away at all, forever. The time is near. The end is near, if you will. And so the whole idea of seeing the abomination of desolation that's spoken of in Matthew, you can't really see it until that angel sounds, and when he heard the trumpets, but he didn't know, he was instructed not to say what the words of the trumpets were, because it wasn't time yet. Anybody remember that? Go to Revelation 10, I think.
What chapter?
10. You want to bet? Huh?
Don't bet.
I didn't hear you.
All right, that's fine. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book, or a little scroll, open. And he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot upon the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. So somehow what these guys uttered, what the thunders uttered, had something to do with time. Something had to happen before the time could end. Now let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now what I'm telling you all is not necessarily, I mean, I, this is fundamentally what I believe, not necessarily, I think it's right, but it's not doctrine. You understand what I'm saying?
It comes from the doctrine as...
Yeah, but it's not like, it's not a sure bet. Like, it's a sure bet from my perspective, what we're about to see. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming or presence of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand, and really at hand means here. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now what I believe is that the thing that John was not able to write was who the thunders, if you were telling who the Antichrist was. Because again, here, that day shall not come except the son of perdition, the man of sin, be revealed. Now, as I've said recently, that I say, ever since the day I began teaching, I've talked about that the day of Christ is here. And so it says, let no man trouble you. You don't be shaken in mind, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you. So either what I'm saying is right, or I'm deceiving you. There's no in between. That the man of sin, the son of perdition, has been revealed. It's you and I. He opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That is the true meaning of the abomination of desolation. That's the final abomination. That's what they're all referring to. The others were just types. And if you can see that you are the abomination of desolation, you are the man of sin, the son of perdition, then you can willingly accept your death. Then he can willingly, he, because of his humility, will stand within you as your only hope of glory. So this is critical. This is kind of important. It's about as big as it gets. You are the man of sin. You are the son of perdition. And I think every scripture in the Bible proves this. What?
To me, seeing and hearing as you say you love God, you hear this, that love is put to the test, in that that is where you gladly, willingly die.
Amen.
Give up your life because your interests are only in his interests.
Amen.
And that's not hard. That's not a...
No, it's natural if you see this.
That's a joy at that point.
And that's why Romans 12 is so important in the same context. It says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You present your body the living sacrifice. Sacrifice always means dead. There's no sacrifice that isn't dead. Living, it's because it's his life in you. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, Well, this is the message that the church needs to hear. To stop all this self-seeking in the name of God. All that's doing is enhancing the curse. It's putting the name of God on iniquity. And if you... that's about as big as it gets.
I think the church wants to hear this.
The true church wants to hear it. But again, they'll kill you and think they're doing God holy service. The ones that aren't. Anybody else? John?
It's in, I'm thinking about all the years, you know, we studied the idolatry.
That's
and
all.
Every
right.
aspect, and this is the idea. Of,
this is the source of
the
all
source
idolatry.
Of it is, you know, it is an idol that was set up in the temple of us.
And a pig. It was a pig.
Yeah, so appropriate. It is.
Anybody have any other thoughts? Responses?
It's kind of like Romans 8:28. You know, they thought they were desecrating the temple to the max and doing all this stuff. But all they were doing is providing the ultimate picture that we could see clearly.
Amen. Amen.
And they were doing God's will, thinking they were doing something.
No, that's why every knee is bowing, every tongue is confessing.
Yeah.
They're confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord because that's all they're capable of doing is the will of God, either for bat for the at. It's either birth or afterbirth.
Yeah.
It's not any, it's the, but it's all necessary.
Yeah, there's no evil done in the city that I didn't do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's look at that one more time. Let's look at two scriptures and then we'll quit. Go to Isaiah 45 first. Everybody remember who Cyrus was? Hmm? John?
Persian guy?
He was a Persian king that Isaiah says is a type of Christ because he released the people and did all...
Build the temple, let him go back.
Right, let him go back to build the temple and all that. Okay, that's in verse 1. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, the right hand I have hidden, holden, to subdue nations and before him. And I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the 2 leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by name, by thy name, and I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I am the Lord, there is none else, there is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Hallelujah. Now let's go to Amos.
That's wild because he's... You know, taking this Gentile king as
Amen.
A picture of Messiah because he wants to. It's like, I'm just,
Amen.
You know, I'll raise you up to do this thing. It's amazing. Where are we going? I'm sorry.
Amos chapter 3. I got to stop because Josanna's run out of paper.
Right on the table.
Don't write on the table. That's what you've been doing. I saw your evidence. You've been writing on the table.
You're writing on the table.
Hold that in.
Okay. gosh.
I'm right on the table.
Look at that look.
Solve
right.
Evidence.
That was great.
All right. Are you at Amos?
Yes, I am.
Three? Chapter three?
I've been there.
Wow, aren't you special?
He's a good Betty.
Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he hath taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no trap is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. The lion hath roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken. Who can but prophesy? Hallelujah. Amen?
Yeah. It's a crazy chapter.
It's a great chapter. That first part of Isaiah 45, where I'll give you the hidden treasures of darkness, the secret places. He's already given it to you. It's the Holy of Holies within you, the residence of Christ, the mercy seat in the New Jerusalem, which has already come down from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That's our only reality, that New Jerusalem. And all of Israel, all the law, all of everything prophesied of that. And the King of Kings, in whom we have life. Period. Who is in us. We are in him, and both in God. Take it, big guy.